All right, hi everybody, and welcome to our Test 3 preparation class for the elementary grades of the American History Program of History at our house. We are going to do our standard procedure, which is we will work our way through the test preparation sheets, which you received on Monday, and see how well you have done in your homework research. Okay, so let me share my screen with you guys. And what we're going to do is we're going to let the upper L go first because the upper L has about an extra page worth of questions. So if you are in the lower L, just sit tight for a second and see if you can understand what the questions were that the upper elementary were asked to do. So there's a little bit more of a difficult set of questions for the upper elementary. So I'm going to go ahead now and ask the upper L questions first, okay? So number one, which of the anchor facts of history helps us to understand why English colonists coming to America had to get the permission of a king to do so? So notice that I say anchor facts. So your answer needs to have at least two. At least two answers. Nemo, get us started.
The anchor fact of history that helps us to understand why English colonists coming to America had to get permission from the king to do so was that having kings and rulers was normal since the time of Magnus Norman.
Okay, so you notice that you said the anchor fact, and I said the anchor facts. Which of the anchor facts? Oh, I know you like grammatically. You could say which of would be asking one. So I'm gonna say that's my mistake. I would have liked to have seen two in this, but that is the best answer, Nemo. So I would have to give you full marks, even though I would have liked to see two. Now, what you chose to do also was you took the entire question and wrote it into your answer, which means you're gonna run out of room and you're only going to be able to use one fact. So yeah, that's a little bit of a tricky one. Perhaps Mr. Powell needed a little bit more clear guidance. I should have said which two, or if I wanted two, I should have said two. So I'm going to go back on my own evaluation and say that was a really good answer. Okay, so let's go ahead with just two. Did anybody have, just one rather, did anybody have a fact other than Magnus Norman, which is the best choice? But others are possible. So keep your hand up or raise your hand if you had a fact other than Magnus Norman. So, okay, Abby, go ahead.
Fall of Rome.
Why?
Because then that was when the Roman Empire, which had a government rather than a monarchy, fell, and that example was lost.
Almost. I see what you're trying to say there. Now keep in mind that this was a little bit tricky. The Roman Empire, by the time it fell, it was an empire. It had an emperor. So it was a monarchy too. The example of the Roman Republic had died much earlier. Okay, so just be careful. You're on the right track there. But the Roman Republic had died earlier. That would be an important anchor fact of Roman history. But we're not studying Roman history when the Roman Republic died. So we can't study all of those details. Otherwise, we'd kind of get lost in that ocean of information. So I decided to skip that particular one. But you're on the right track there. Okay, let's go to number two. Which of the anchor facts of history helps us to understand why the American colonists rebelled against their king to form a republic? Okay, Sigourney, go ahead.
The Americans created monarchy and wanted to create republic. They looked back at the examples of the Athenian democracy and Roman Republic, which inspired them to do so.
Okay, there we go. And of course, especially the idea of a republic. Okay, so that's a pretty good answer. I think everybody will have mostly the same answer, so I don't want to keep the lower L waiting too long here. Let's get over to number three so that we'll get to the lower L. You know what? Let's do the lower L anchor facts really quick so the lower L students get to chime in with a few answers here. So, all right, so the lower L just had some basic memory exercises with the anchor facts. France. So, when did Menes Narmer unify ancient Egypt? My lower L students, I guess that would probably be Henry and Rosetta and Patrick. I'm not sure about anybody else. Rosetta, go ahead.
In circa 3000 BC.
Circa 3000 BC, and it's got to have a circa. Very good, Rosetta. Okay, and when did the Roman Empire fall? Let's have one of you give me an answer on that. How about Henry? Go ahead, Henry. Can you do that one? Oh, just a sec. Henry, did you do the lower L prep or not?
He's not here. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it should just say Wyatt then. Okay. So number three, discovery of America by... Okay. So we didn't actually get that one. Patrick, what is number two?
476 AD.
Okay, 476 AD. Right, there we go. Okay, number three, discovery of America. All right, we know that one, everybody. 1492. All right, and number four, the new anchor fact, settlement of Jamestown / settlement of Plymouth. So that's one of the ones where we've got two put together. Rosetta, go ahead.
1607/1620.
1607/1620. Very good. Okay. And by that point, AD is obvious. Okay, good. So let's go back to the upper L group here for a little bit more of their work. Number three, use two anchor facts to complete this sentence. There could be no United States of America without... dot, dot, dot. Okay, give me an anchor fact answer. Wyatt, go ahead.
There could be no United States of America without Columbus's discovery of America in 1492 and the colonists Jamestown and Plymouth in 1607 and colonists colonizing Jamestown and Plymouth in 1607 and 1620.
Okay, perfect answer, right? Remember, watch the instructions. Be sure to use two anchor facts and include the dates. Thank you. Those were the answers. Okay, a couple quick geography questions before we go to the map that everybody had to do. For Upper L, what was the original name of New York, Abby? And what country had colonized it? Go ahead.
New Netherlands.
New Netherlands. And it was the Netherlands that had colonized it indeed. Okay? Number five, name the major tributary of the Mississippi that begins at present-day Pittsburgh. Jeremy, go ahead.
The Ohio River is the major tributary of the Mississippi River that begins at Pittsburgh.
Okay, very nice. Okay, full sentence answer. I like that. Okay, all right, so this is for upper L and lower L. So we're going to give everybody a chance to do it. And just for fun here, I would like you to tell me, along with your answer, I want you to tell me, does the state still have the same shape? Oh, that's a bonus question for today. So if you're going to answer, I want you to tell me what the name is, and then I want you to tell me if the state still has the same shape. Who can do that? All right, let's start with number one. Dana, please.
Number one is Virginia.
And does it still have the same shape?
And yes, it still has the same shape.
No, it doesn't. It's bigger. It's got to go further over here. And it go anyway. All right. See, this is just a bonus for fun. Okay, don't feel bad about that. All right, number two. What is it? Does it still have the same shape, Rosetta?
It's Massachusetts, and it still has the same shape.
Aha. Okay, that one has stayed the same. Oh, wait a minute. That's wrong. Oh, the bonus questions are fun, aren't they? Why is that wrong? Why is that wrong? It sure looks like it. Why is that wrong? It does not have the same shape today. Who knows why? Walker? Oh, put your hands down if you don't know the answer. Nobody knows. Okay, we're going to come back to number two in a second. Okay, what about number three? What is it? And does it have the same shape today? Sigourney?
New Hampshire And I think it's missing the piece.
Oh, really? That's pretty much right. Pretty much right. You know, it's not like looking like a triangle there. It's kind of this part over here that would have been Vermont that doesn't look quite right. So maybe my bonus questions are a little too hard for you guys there. But anyway, we'll keep going. Number four, what is it? And does it look pretty much like it looks today, Patrick?
It's Maryland, and I don't think that there's anything missing from it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Maryland's just about right. Okay, good. Number five. What is it, and is it pretty much the same? Let's see. Wyatt, go ahead.
Providence, and I think it is the same.
Well, the 13 colonies here were the ones that rebelled, so we're going to have to call that Rhode Island. Providence is the capital of Rhode Island, okay? But it is Rhode Island, and it's pretty much the same. Okay, number seven. What about that one? Hands up only if you have the answers. Jeremy, go ahead. Oh, did I skip six?
North Carolina.
Oh, I skipped six, but go ahead. Jeremy, seven is North Carolina, and is it about the same size?
Yeah.
It's about, yeah, okay. Yeah, we'd be nitpicking if we said it wasn't. Okay, so we forgot six, says Patrick. So, Patrick, six is what, and is it the same?
Connecticut.
Okay, now you said
Connecticut.
Yes, that's right. That's what I told Patrick to do, was to say it out loud as Connecticut, just for fun, because it's pronounced differently, but you gotta know the spelling, right? And is it about the same?
I think so.
Pretty much. Okay, so let's go to number eight then. What is it, and is it pretty much the same now? I see a lot of people with hands up that have had more than one answer already. Try to put your hands down so that others can answer. Walker, what about you?
It's South Carolina, and it's pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same. Okay, good answer. Number nine. What is it, and is it still the same today? Jack.
That is New York, and I don't think it's the same.
No, it's not. New York goes all the way over to the Great Lakes, and also it does not include Vermont, right? So we've got another state up here that's, well, at first it didn't exist, and then it was created. We still haven't answered number two properly yet, so we'll come back to that. Okay, so number 10? What about that one? Nemo, go ahead.
New Jersey.
And is it pretty much the same?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay, number 11. Abby.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, still the same?
Let me see. Number 11 is... I see it. No, I don't think it's still the same. Actually.
No, it's bigger because what city, and Jeremy will know the answer to this, what city is part of Pennsylvania that back then, well, it still wasn't quite part of the United States? At the mouth of the Ohio River, right? Pennsylvania goes all the way over here, and Pittsburgh's in it, right? So, oh, yeah, not quite the same. Okay, number 12. What's that one? Okay, Sigourney.
Delaware, and it's pretty much the same shape.
Yeah, right. All the ones that are kind of overstuck on the coast, right, are pretty much the same. And I think Jennifer didn't have a chance to answer yet. Jennifer, do you want to do 13?
Is it Florida?
13? No, not Florida. Florida is not one of the original 13 colonies. Okay. Do you want to have another try, Jennifer?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, got to watch out for that one. Patrick, go ahead.
Georgia.
And
I think it's not the same.
Yeah, it's bigger now as it stretches out further. Okay, so Mr. Powell tricked you guys with these extra questions here, but nobody knew the answer yet to this question that I have for you guys, which was, what about number two? How come number two is not the same? Sure looks like Massachusetts. Does anybody know? Abby, are you tempted to try? Go ahead.
Well, it looks kind of like there's a little thing at the top. I'm not quite sure.
A little thing at the top? What do you mean a little thing? There's a really huge thing at the top. It's about three times the size of Massachusetts. And it's called Maine. Uh-huh. How come Maine is not indicated on here? Well, because it was a part of Massachusetts until it was made into a state. We don't know yet when. We will see. That was a very important moment in American history, as it turns out, in 1820. Okay, anyway, that's a preview. All right, so no, it wasn't a separate colony. It was part of Massachusetts. Kind of interesting, right? So there is, I should have maybe put a two and a line over here, but hey, I was being tricky. Okay. Let's continue. That was good, mostly. And so, let's continue. So, oopsie. Number 7 for upper L, and then we go to lower L again. Number 7. How did Europeans mainly think of America before colonization? What did Richard Hakluyt say to change their minds? Jack, go ahead.
For some time, Europeans saw America as an obstacle. However, Richard Hakluyt changed their minds by explaining how Western planting could help them avoid trade with the other nations of Europe.
All right, nicely put, right? Western planting, what was the reason to go and plant? It was to avoid trade with the rest of Europe. Trade with your fellow Englishmen in America if you can. Okay, similar question for the lower L. Who wrote the Discourse on Western Planting? What main reason did he give for planting people in the Americas? All right, let's see here. Lower L group. Who wants to do number 3? All right, Patrick, your turn. Go ahead.
Richard Hakluyt wrote the Discourse on Western Planting because you, the king, will get to keep everything they make and don't have to get it from France. Worst enemies forever.
Okay, that's an interesting answer, and it needs a little bit of work, because you normally would not start a sentence with because, all right? But it is a pretty good answer. You, the king, it would be good to put you, the king of England, get to keep everything, because it doesn't go to France. So, yeah, that's a pretty good answer. It would be more precise to say you would have a colony so that you don't have to trade with France and the money stays inside your country. All right, but you're on the right track. Okay, let's do another lower L. What was the first successful English settlement in America? What reward was eventually given to encourage people to come to this colony? Okay, so, now, Walker Allison, I'm not clear why your hands are up. Are you guys lower L or upper L?
We're both.
Oh, okay, Allison, so who's answering?
Lower L and I'm upper L.
Okay, Allison, you want to do number 4?
I can't see which one is number 4.
Okay, well, maybe you need a little bit of help on your end there to get organized. Rosetta, go ahead.
The first successful English settlements in America was Jamestown and Plymouth. The reward was 50 acres of land.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Powell has a typo. That should not be settlements because the reward of head rights did not apply in Plymouth. The reward of head rights was in Virginia. Okay, 50 acres of land, which was a head right. Okay, we must have something similar for the upper elementary students, so let me get to that. I don't know why it's not still there. That's kind of difficult. Okay, so let's do it. It's very similar to number 8, except, so how did it finally succeed in attracting enough colonists to make the colony a success? A little bit different wording there. So Nemo, go ahead.
The first successful English settlement in America was Jamestown. It finally succeeded in attracting enough colonists to make a colony success by offering a head right system, which offered 50 acres of land total. For each person that left England and settled in America, those who would not afford a passage could have their way paid by someone else and become an indentured servant for 5 to 7 years. Afterwards, they would get their own land and a 5-year supply of food.
Okay. That was a really long answer. I don't know if you could really fit that inside of that space there. So you might have to try to reduce the size of it so that it fits. But it was a good answer. All right. What number nine, what was the second successful English settlement in America? What was the reason it was settled? Okay, Jeremy, go ahead.
The second successful settlement was the Plymouth Colony. The pilgrims came to escape religious persecution.
All right, there you go. Nicely put. Okay, anybody want to try a different wording? I know we're going a little bit quickly in order to not get bogged down here. All right, Abby, what's your version?
My version is the second successful English settlement was Plymouth. And the reason was because the Pilgrims or the Puritan wanted to have freedom of religion. However, when they created their colony, the Pilgrims only allowed their religion, Calvinism, and nothing else. So they did not really believe in religious freedom. But that was the reason they said all that, was that they wanted to go there and practice Christianity in their own way.
Right. So Jeremy's answer was very correct, very precise. They wanted to escape religious persecution of their beliefs. Sadly, they didn't want to practice religious toleration themselves. All right, so let's go now to the lower L for the number five question. What group of English colonists settled Plymouth, Massachusetts? At Plymouth, Massachusetts. Wow, the typos are in there. It sure would be nice if people would send me emails about typos. I know that it's everybody's busy, but it's nice when people check up on me. It helps because I don't have anybody editing. So anyway, I would appreciate it. What religion did they accept? Okay, number five. Patrick?
The Puritans. They were Calvinists.
Okay, good answer, except for one thing that's needed. A complete sentence. So, the Puritans is not a sentence with a period at the end of it. That doesn't make it a sentence, right? It has to be, the English colonists of Plymouth were Puritans. That's a complete sentence. All right, this is part of the practice of doing history tests, is to write complete sentences. So you had the right content, it just needed a little bit of an upgrade to a complete sentence. Okay, so what about number six? What colony was formed by Roger Williams and why? Rosetta, please, go ahead.
The colony that was formed by Roger Williams was Rhode Island. He made the colony because he believed that you should have the freedom to choose your own religion.
Okay. He made it because he was the first important hero to support religious freedom in American history. He's a very important character, and he deserves credit. Okay, Patrick, what is it? You want to try your answer?
I want to do the seventh question.
Oh, you want to do the seventh. Okay, let's see here. We might have to... All right, we'll go ahead and do the seventh, and then we're going to have to give the Upper Rail students their turns. So, which was the most important of the colonial wars, and what was its outcome? Go ahead.
The most important war was the French and Indian War. The British won and the French lost. They settled in Canada.
Oh, that's interesting. What was its outcome? They settled in Canada was not really an outcome of the war. That's an interesting one. The outcome of the war, it was what you said mainly, was that the British won and took over North America. And yes, after that, the British were able to, I guess you could say after that, they did settle more in Canada than before. That's true. Okay. So, yeah, that's good. Okay. Let's go now to the upper elementary students. And what did we not yet cover? Number 10. Explain why it is incorrect to say the Puritans came to America for religious freedom. How did they treat people of different beliefs in their community? Dana, go ahead.
It is incorrect to say that the Puritan Flush Pilgrims came to America for religious freedom because if you had a different religion, they would arrest its leaders and banish them from the colony.
Okay. That's a very specific thing to say. Maybe you could say you could arrest people or attack people or basically persecute people. So there are a lot of different ways to persecute. So I'd rather have an answer that's a little bit more general. That's a good example of what happened to the people of Wollaston, for instance. Or if you were Roger Williams, you were banished from the colony. There were different things that would happen to you. Wyatt, what's your way of writing that answer?
They banished anybody who tried to do something that they did not agree with. They wanted to get away from being killed, but they wanted their religion to be the only one.
Okay, that's a good way of writing it. Okay, how about number 11? What is toleration? What two early American colonies had religious toleration? Jeremy, go ahead.
Toleration means to ignore something you do not like. Rhode Island and Maryland were colonies that had religious toleration.
Rhode Island and Maryland. Okay, good answer. To ignore something you don't like? Not quite. Not quite. I don't think ignore is the right word. It's a pretty good word, but just like in history through art, we want to see if we can get the best word. So maybe we should try for another word. Abby, what did you write?
Toleration is when you allow somebody to do something even though you don't really like it.
Okay, we're getting closer. It is to allow things that you don't really like. Except not necessarily, because to allow means that you could stop it. So in other words, you have a position of power. You can tolerate other things without being in a position of power. So the way that I would put it is, toleration means putting up with things even if you don't like them. Okay, it means accepting things even if you don't like them. Okay, so allow, accept, not so much ignore. See the difference, Jeremy? Because to ignore means you're trying to pretend that it's not there. But if you tolerate something, you know it's there. It's just that you let it be. Okay, so you're not trying to pretend that it's not there. Okay, so we already had the lower L help us with importance of the colonial wars, but why don't we have some other people try out their answers? Nemo, you want to do number 12?
The most important of the colonial wars was the French and Indian War. The outcome was that the English won, and they took control of all of North America.
Okay, right. Good. Okay, let's go ahead then and go to the most recent questions, which I know you've only had a day to work on, so I hope you have been able to get to them. So it is number 13 for the upper L, and then I'm not sure what it is, number 8 for the lower L probably. So number 13 for the upper L. Where did the English tradition of liberty begin? When did it first take root in America? So a two-part question. All right. So, Abby, go ahead.
The Lords of King James forced him to sign the Magna Carta. That was when the English tradition of liberty began. But when it took root in America was when the first House of Parliament, the Virginia House of Burgesses, was developed.
Okay, so watch out. James and John are not necessarily the same. And so King John was the one who was forced to sign the Magna Carta. And so watch out for that. All right, Jeremy, what's your formulation?
The English tradition of liberty began with the Magna Carta limiting the powers of the king. In 1215, in 1619, the first parliament was held in the first...
Oh, what? Why are you muted? What happened there? Keep going. I'm sorry, it was my fault, maybe. Oh no, we're having a sound problem. Try again, Jeremy.
The first parliament was held in Virginia. The first parliament was held in Virginia.
Okay. I'm not sure if you repeated yourself on purpose. And it was the House of Burgesses of 1619 is what we need there. Interesting how it's pretty close to almost exactly 400 years, isn't it, to the difference. Okay, what about you Lower L folks? Did you manage to get this? Where did the tradition of English liberty begin? Did anybody get to that one? Rosetta, go ahead.
The English liberty began with the signing of the Magna Carta by King John in 1215.
Okay. Maybe we could add by the forced signing of the Magna Carta, right, Rosetta? Because yeah. It wasn't a gift. King John didn't want to do it. See, kings have been making promises to people since the beginning of time. And there's all kinds of famous examples of kings making promises to be nice. The most famous one is called the Code of Hammurabi. And it's way back in about 1800 BC. And he said, I am going to help all the poor people. And guess what? Just like all the other kings, he was a big liar. So kings have been pretending to be nice since the beginning of time. But what happens is when they're forced to sign the document, that's when you really get progress. There were actually examples of kings making promises in England before the Magna Carta too. But those are all over the place in history. Oh, I'm going to be a good king. I really am. I promise, I promise, I promise. And of course they're not. So, yeah, the Magna Carta is so important because it's the people holding the king down and forcing him to sign with him in a headlock. And they're saying, sign this thing. Otherwise, we're going to get rid of you. And the king says, all right, fine. And then they resist and they rebel. And then we have to have more fights. And that's pretty much all of English history. Fighting against the king to keep him in line. And so no wonder the founding fathers said, well, oh my gosh, we gotta be done with that. Let's go and have a republic. That's the right answer. All right, so interesting though. But this is a great beginning. The Magna Carta is so fascinating. Okay, bonus questions. Number 9, I think it's the same bonus questions, but different numbering. So anyway, what city in Maryland is named after an Irish lord? Dana, go ahead.
Baltimore,
named after Lord Baltimore, not to be confused with Lord Voldemort or whatever that guy is. Okay, after whom is Pennsylvania named? Sigourney.
William Penn,
exactly. And Pennsylvania means Penn's Woods. Sylvania means the woods. All right, so Penn's Woods. There's a lot of trees there. All right, what phrase means the way things were before the war? Nemo, go ahead.
Status quo ante bellum.
Status quo ante bellum. All right. And what was, not to be confused with status quo uncle bellum. Okay. What was the name of the first parliament in America? Abby.
The Virginia House of Burgesses.
The Virginia House of Burgesses. Okay, thank you very much. I am impressed, as usual, with your efforts and the results that came from them. So good for you. And so you will receive the test today. And, well, you know, it's up to you guys in your house what happens with those. I hope that they help you to learn this material even more and that we are now ready to leap into the best part of all, the number one story in history, the American Revolution. We will turn to that topic directly on Tuesday. Why Tuesday, you ask? Well, because Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so we are taking that off. Okay? So we return on Tuesday, and we get to the American Revolution. Good luck with the test, everybody. Have a great weekend, and talk to you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
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 Bye.